Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Fried Rice Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Rice. Let's get fried. With me, as always, is Brennan. Shipley up to Boston.
Hello, everybody.
With me, as always, it is Michael. I bet his family wishes that he would leave them home alone every now and then. You know what I mean? Just give him some space away from him. Larson.
Hey, everybody. Merry Christmas.
It's Michael. If he were the Wet Bandits, he'd be both of them, Larson.
Okay.
It's Michael. If I could set my apartment up with booby traps that when he came over would cause him immense amount of pain while just keeping him on the brink of life, I would do so, Larson.
Hey, everybody.
It's Michael Macaulay Culkin. Is a weird name to give a kid. Who names their kid Macaulay Larson?
Hey, everybody.
All right. Let's get into it. It's show. Shut up. All right. I forgot. This is a regular ass episode of Fried Rice Podcast. So let's get into what are we smoking. Brandon, what'd you bring?
I brought Donut Shop. 7 gram mini nugs. Pretty tasty. I brought it before. Still working on it.
Same brand over here. I brought white cherry gelato small nugs, and it's pretty good. Yeah. What brand is this?
I don't even know what the brand is.
You thought it was Donut Shop. It's not.
Yeah, Donut Shop's the strain. Yeah.
Yeah. This is, it doesn't have
I don't know, they have the coolest labels, though. We were talking about it yesterday.
Oh, it's
their labels all. Xander. I was saying, I want him to start saving those labels, because I was going to, I'll take them all and make a poster out of them for him.
Oh, there you go. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Xana. Yeah. Which is pretty good. Yeah, Xana's awesome. So we both have two Xanas. We've been just packing a bowl. This is our second podcast of the day so far. We just recorded our Christmas story one. That's how time works. Just want to break that for you.
Wait, break time for you.
For spoiling what we're doing for Christmas.
No, it's announced. We've announced it, I think. Haven't we?
I don't know.
No one knows about our secret Boxing Day, what we're releasing then.
Are we?
I hope to God. I swear.
Do we
to God,
know?
I don't know. At this point, he still hasn't given it to me. So
probably not.
No, I've begged. Anyway,
you might just have to steal it.
I might have to break into his home and take it from him. Home Alone. We're doing both of them today: Home Alone 1 and Home Alone 2. I understand for the purists out there, there are more than two Home Alones. Yes, there's a Home Alone 3. Which doesn't star Macaulay Culkin, and it's not the McAllisters. It's
I liked 3 when it came out.
It was the
younger.
Little boy with the long hair.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it again.
3.
Yeah, I haven't watched it again. It was silly.
Yeah, 3 was 3, not that great, but not as bad as everyone remembers.
Yeah.
It's like, it still
it's just
has
hard
the charm.
To compare,
I like the parrot in it. The parrot was cute, you know, singing Bad, Bad Leroy Brown.
And then we have
4. There was 4.
Yeah, 4.
That was the most recent
I never
one.
Even tried that one.
No, it's not.
It's not?
Oh, wait. Is that a... Was
There's
that a
another one on there
Was that a
now,
made for straight to DVD?
I think straight to TV or DVD. I'm not sure what.
I
just know there's another one listed there. I didn't even start it. I was like, I'm not even going there.
So then the newest one is...
I think it's called Home Alone Redux or something like that.
Redux.
I don't remember what it was. It's on the Hulu page when you get there.
Well, the newest one I did watch. With the
Disney Channel.
The fat...
Was that 4?
He's a kid. So the chubby, portly... if he says that there's a 4, this is number 5 then, technically. But they don't call it 5. But it's the most recent one. It came out in 2023, 2024, whatever. Last year. And it's a... Okay. It's a... I'll tell you this. Not a sympathetic protagonist.
No.
So the protagonist is a fat kid with glasses from England who's in America. With his mom, and they are his family's gonna have to sell their home.
I've seen bits and pieces of
it. They have to sell their home, so they're like Christmas. They're not gonna have Christmas at their family home, and it's like real depressing. So this kid just steals these dolls from a house that they visit or whatever. He just steals them, and those dolls are worth a lot of money, like $50,000-$100,000 a piece or whatever. And the owner, the rightful owner of those dolls, who's the son, I think, of the woman who owned them, who passed away, wants them back. And the kid says he doesn't have them, whatever. And then because the kid gets home alone, they try to break in and take back what's rightfully theirs. So the entire movie is a kid attacking people who are trying to get back their stolen property. And it is absolutely not the spirit of Home Alone. Right. Home Alone is like, these are crooks doing crook things and a kid defending himself. This is a shithead kid who stole and refused.
So it's a reversed.
It's a reverse. Reversed, well, right. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
He's the bad guy.
Yeah.
And then the two bumbling good guys end up getting their asses kicked the whole movie by this bad dude until at the very end, the bad guy, the kid, ends up, they sell the dolls or whatever and save their own home. So they save their childhood home via the stolen goods that he stole from those people. I think because once those people go to prison for breaking and entering into a home again and fighting a child, right?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
They went a little too far. Yeah. They should have called the police, which I think they do. And I think that they're just like, well, I don't have the dolls. So what are you fucking talking about?
So it's like a Robin Hood Home Alone thing.
Yeah, if Robin Hood stole from innocent people and then kept it for himself and then was a dick about it.
Start
and then
Chevy Chase.
Yeah.
It'd be like, no, this would be like if Robin Hood went into an innocent person's home, stole their goods, and then loaded an arrow up and just shot him in the fucking chest while they were asleep and then left. Yeah. That's what this kid did. Because he stole from them, went home, set up a defensive perimeter, said, come at me, bro, and then just started fucking wailing on these
people. So
these
be sure
people.
That we're not recommending that Home Alone 5, whatever it is. Yeah. Whatever it's called. It's called Home Alone something else.
If you want to see a different take on Home Alone that's not great, go check it out.
It's the kid that kind of looks like a young Nick Frost, right?
Yeah. He's also super unlikable.
Yeah, he's like, in something else.
I don't know what
he's
not going to watch it.
Kids movie.
He
no
should be
kid
Piggy.
Is unlikable, Andy.
He should be Piggy in
That's
Lord of the Flies.
That's kind of what he looks like. He looks like Piggy, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Piggy from Lord of the Flies. That's what he should be playing at all times, just so I can watch him fucking die. Spoilers for Lord of the Flies. Yeah, dude, he's not likable at all. There's not a redeeming moment at any point in that movie where you're just like, oh, I hope this kid makes it. Every single time I hope his booby traps fail or that he ends up on one of them, doesn't happen. It's bad. It's really bad. Home Alone 5.
Let's just talk about the Home Alone actual concept to begin.
Yeah.
Because
do you buy either one?
What do you mean? Conceptually?
No. I mean, I'm talking like the realistic fact that he could be left home alone. We take into consideration that this is late 80s, early 90s. Because I know it's 1990s. So you got to think it was filmed in the late 80s.
Of course, you can't buy this premise because nobody does this shit without a head count. Nobody goes to the airport and leaves.
Yeah,
nobody,
they don't do a half-ass head count like
that.
This was pre-9/11.
It
so the
matter.
Airport, I do buy a whole family rushing. It's about to leave, and they're just like, all right, just take whatever seat's available.
If you have a problem child in the family, and that problem child is very quiet on the ride to the airport, he's not there.
Yeah, you're worried.
Yeah, where is
Kevin? Yeah. Would be the very first thing you'd be asking yourself at all points of all every day.
Yes.
Especially movie two.
Yes.
Like, let's just say he was a problem child. Let's just say Christmas was just a bad look for Kevin on that one occasion because he's feeling cramped. There's a lot of people in his home and like, he's just like, this sucks. And he just lets loose and everyone treats him like shit or whatever. Yeah. That's a one-time thing. So maybe the next day he's not problem child, Kevin. They're just like, oh, he just overreacted, whatever. He'll be fine. We have too much to worry about. Otherwise we have eight, you know, how many other kids he's on the other shuttle. The oldest sibling, the one who looks like high school age or older, is like, don't worry, we're all here.
Yeah.
I could buy that. Now, you get to the airport. You're already running late. You're running through the airport. I could buy that. I could buy you not double-checking. Then you get to the gate. Now, this is the only pre-9/11 bullshit I can, like, when we get to movie two, this is definitely pre-9/11. Yeah. Holy fucking shit, I forgot that he goes to the top of the Twin Towers and hangs out up there. Shit. Yeah.
But basically, these movies somehow turn child abandonment and aggravated assault into family entertainment. It's Home Alone is what you get if Die Hard and Dennis the Menace had a baby and left it to fend for itself, which is exactly what happens in this film.
Yeah.
So no, it's not. The premise is ridiculous,
Well,
but it's
I mean,
great.
I love
it's great. It's just ridiculous.
I love the premise. Yeah. I love the premise. I think it's great. Home boy trapped at home alone builds booby traps, defend off burglars.
That's the one thing that I would say 3 has over these two is that it's more realistic in the sense that the kid's homesick. You know, and he had this microchip RC car thing that they're trying to take back.
Oh my God, I forgot about the microchip RC car thing.
So that's what makes
that
one more realistic.
Are they like assassins or spies or some bullshit? Yeah. Okay, yeah. So you're saying the one where the international spies are trying to get the RC car from the sick boy in the suburban neighborhood is a little bit more realistic than I gotcha.
Just the Home Alone sense part
gotcha,
of it. Yes.
Gotcha. But fuck, dude. This I would say that the okay. Well, first off,
What are the odds too of the bandits breaking out of jail and ending up in New York Christmas time?
Second one, that's true.
You know,
well, they wanted to get far away from where they were initially. Yeah.
They were in Chicago, and
they
went
to
New York.
But then run into him in New York? Come on. Really? Run into him in New York?
We're the sticky bandits.
Well,
then they are. Yeah. The wet bandits.
Yeah. So we get the iconic, iconic house logo with the music turning into a picture-perfect, that's the house that we're looking at.
John Williams is the GOAT.
And so is John Hughes.
Yeah, so is John Hughes.
Which, by the way, this is our third or fourth John Hughes
movie,
we went all out.
Yeah. So we went Planes, Trains, Vacation, and now this. So who let the cop in? Who let Joe Pesci in?
That was my first thought, too. How is everybody just okay with the cop just chilling in the house?
No one stops you. If a bunch of kids, not a single kid's going to stop and be like, policeman, policeman.
Yeah,
where's right?
the cop here?
Macaulay Culkin's actual little brother isn't going to go up and say anything. Who's now in a movie with Jesse Eisenberg that looks pretty good. What's his name? Rory Macaulkin?
Is it Rory or is
Kieran.
Kieran
Macaulkin.
Yeah.
He's also one of my favorites in
Kieran Culkin.
Kieran Culkin, not McCulkin. It's Macaulay Culkin. Yeah, I always say McCulkin. Kieran Culkin. What a weird name. He's in Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Plays the roommate. And now he's in a movie with Jesse Eisenberg, which the trailers, it's interesting. I like their take. The trailers are just clips from the movie. There's no like coming this whatever, and then clips, and then like little snapshots, whatever. All it is just Jesse Eisenberg and Kieran walking through a park, having like a kind of a funny little conversation that turns into like something kind of weird and funny. And then that's it. And then here's the movie. And then the next one is like another just clip of them talking. And so it tells you exactly what this movie is. It's just like a buddy, quote unquote, comedy, maybe dramedy with the two of them. In it, and is that older Pete? Is that Big Pete from Pete and Pete? Was Big Pete one of the brothers?
He was a cousin, but I don't know if that was him though. I know you're talking about.
Are you sure he's
all?
I don't think it's
brothers.
I don't know if it's the same actor that was Pete.
No, because there's only two brothers: the little brother and the big brother.
Yeah.
Oh, Buzz and
the other ones are cousins. And there was less people in two than one, right? Like it kind of
maybe they cut out a couple.
It felt
kids.
Like it because
not
in,
as many going
in two. It feels like it's only two families.
Yeah.
Whereas in the one, it feels like. Like, how many fucking kids are there, you know?
Yeah.
Like, one
well,
is...
There were 20.
Yeah, there was a shit ton.
Well,
there was
19, technically.
19, yeah.
It was supposed
they
to
cut
be
down
20.
To, like, 14 or 12. 14.
Yeah. It's insane that they, like... Now, one thing to keep in mind is how affluent these families are.
Very.
The house they live in, the fact that they're able to travel to Paris for Christmas.
Dad's paying for all of it.
Dad's paying for all of it. And he's not even...
Because Grandpa's like, don't ruin my paid-for vacation.
Yeah, or Uncle. Uncle Frank.
Uncle Frank,
Oh, yeah, Uncle. Yeah. So he's super affluent. So I just want to point that out because in number two at the later when...
Oh, the money spent.
When they get all those free presents and tree and their free plaza loft that they're all staying in, I felt real good for them. Like, it's great that these, didn't we see literally homeless people in this movie?
Yeah.
And yet I want to feel, doesn't Kevin literally leave he doesn't go and get Pigeon Lady and say like, hey, Pigeon Lady, listen, We just got a bunch of free shit.
We got a bunch of food here.
He should have stopped the family. Hey, Buzz, hold on. Shut up for a second, Buzz. Shut the fuck up for just one moment. I'll decide when who gets the presents because I've been alone in New York and you're just a little bitch now. And I've done like two things on my own. I've like fought criminals. Just shut the fuck up, Buzz, for just one moment and let me say something. Listen, all you bitches, don't touch those presents. I know this homeless lady. She's a pigeon lady. Just don't worry about it. We're friends. And I was going to give her this turtle dove ornament, which I still will, and it's going to represent our lifelong friendship. But all of those fucking presents are hers. We're actually going to go leave and get a hotel room somewhere else. We're going to let her stay in this suite for as long as the hotel's going to allow because she deserves that. It's fucking Christmas, you monsters. We're affluent enough. Have you seen our home? Have you seen our fucking home? We've got timed lights that come on seconds apart from our neighbor's lights. Our lights go on. 2 seconds later, our neighbor's lights go on. 3 seconds later, their lights go on. We timed that. Our neighborhood got together out on the street and said, all right, Mike, I'm going to turn mine on first. And I need you to set your timer a few seconds later. And then how about you? You, Brandon, you're going to put yours just a few seconds later. Because that way, when Joe Pesci is timing his lights, he's like, well, here's the thing, Marv. I got it all planned out. Here, boom, and boom, and boom. How the fuck did they time their lights that way? And also, are they censored lights? Because one time, Kevin, right when he walks up the stairway, the lights turn on. So
not in 1983, they weren't.
Yeah, so.
You might have could have had a clapper.
Yeah.
Might have could have had a clapper.
I don't think there were sensors. Yeah, not yet. Not like the floodlight. Well, yeah. There might have been floodlight in the 90s.
There was a few, but no, they would have been. Of course, a fluid neighborhood is possible.
After Kevin acts up, which I would totally do, and I would be pissed that everyone was there, and that I'd have to share my stuff with them. I'd be so fucking mad if there were people in my room. Like, I'm so glad we didn't have a big extended family like that, because if someone had to sleep in my fucking room with me as a kid, I would have lost my fucking mind. I would have strangled them to sleep. Just 10-year-old boy, 8-year-old boy murders cousin in sleeps, calls it SIDS, yet cousin is 6 years old.
You sleep in the closet. You don't come out till 11.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Ask Austin
how
I treat
Andy's
my guests.
Spot.
Yeah.
Yeah, he likes the closet.
He likes the closet.
Yeah, I like the closet. It's warm. It's my night. So the family's fucking mean as shit because after he has like, I would say like a normal child outbreak. Because
they all ate all the cheese pizza.
Yeah, they all, Buzz was being a fucking asshole. Buzz is the.
How did they get, $100-something worth of pizza and only get one cheese pizza?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. And that delivery driver, by the way, since we're delivery drivers ourselves, Mike, if I were to hit someone's statue, I'd put it back up. I would do the same thing he did, but like you think I'd hit it again on the second drive back? Yeah. Are you fucking out of your mind? I never go back to this house. I switch deliveries with somebody else because I'm like, no, dude, I hit their fucking little statue last time. I'm never going back there. That's so awkward. Although if the tip was fat enough, maybe I would go back.
Maybe like that one driver we used to have that had to make me take deliveries for all the time because they, some reason, everyone in town had a thing out on her. What is that? What was that?
A hit?
A restraining order.
Yeah.
We had one driver once. There were literally three different houses with restraining orders on it.
Well, that's, I mean, yeah. Yeah. That would be, I'm trying to think of who, and I think
you
I
know
who
you're
talking
about.
Okay, then, yeah, all right.
Yeah.
We slept in, that whole sequence in both movies is fantastic.
Yeah.
The getting up, we slept in. We did it again!
Yeah.
And then everyone just rushing to get out of the house. I love that it's the two.
Well, because the first one, the power gets knocked out and resets everything. Does it happen? I can't remember. Did it happen
in
the
second one? He accidentally bumps the. No, he unplugs the alarm clock and plugs it back in because.
But how
did
nobody else wake up that time?
It was our one alarm clock.
Alarm clock.
The one alarm.
They can only afford.
Millionaires only could afford one alarm clock.
The one alarm clock.
Yeah.
They could afford a servant to wake everyone up, to stay up diligently throughout the night and wake everyone up. You know, like, they're so affluent.
his credit card did get declined.
Yeah.
When?
After he reported it stolen.
The second one. Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah,
that's the only time. Yeah. His credit card was so good that they just, the Plaza Hotel.
No problem.
And just no, for extended time. Okay,
No signature.
Actually,
no
the most unrealistic part is the last thing we see of this entire McAllister family thing is him freaking out about $1,000 room service dollars. Because here's the thing. Oh, so you were here a few days, a week by yourself, basically, and you ate room service. That's very smart. You got yourself a hotel room. You found yourself shelter, and you found yourself food, and you used my credit card to do it, which of course you can do, honey. I love you. You're 8 years old. Please take care of yourself. Like, I'm so glad you're safe. Yeah, maybe you had too many cookies, but that's okay. You were scared. That was great.
Well, you got to realize it was $1,000, which in 1983 dollars was a lot of dollars.
I'll tell you, it's not ship an entire fucking family out to Paris on his dime.
No, it's not quite that.
The fact
close.
That he brings Uncle Frank and Uncle Frank's shithead kids to Paris and means that this guy has enough money. Has enough money that $1,000 room service bill doesn't touch the doesn't dent anything. Right.
But you should think of it as $4,000.
And you still scold your kid. You still scold your child at that point. Like that's
can you? Oh, and then by the way, literally, they just found Kevin. They all just like, hey, what's up, Kevin? It's the next morning, and Kevin's like, hey, hold up, I'm gonna run to Central Park by myself on Christmas Day. I'm still a child, but mind you, I'm gonna run to Central Park and go meet up with this homeless lady I just met. BRB, he says to his family, and then leaves, and they're like, and none of them bat an eye. His mom should have been a more realistic ending for number two would have been his mom was with him, met the lady, and invited her back for Christmas.
Yeah. I'm not sure, actually, in watching the movie, because I thought the same thing when I was watching it, and if you look at that scene, his parents are standing on a bridge about 400 or 500 yards away. It's a ways away, but you can see the parents standing there watching over the scene when he's talking to her. So I don't know if it was meant to maybe have that happen, and it didn't.
Are you sure that it's them?
They're dressed the same. I can't be sure.
Because as we've seen,
but they're dressed
especially in Home Alone 2.
I actually thought the same thing. I rewinded. Same red coat. You can't see their faces, so it's impossible to really tell.
Could have been the same guy he followed onto the plane.
It could have been the same guy. Yeah. It could have been Kevin's almost dad in the very beginning of the airport.
It's true. I don't know.
So the first movie, back to the first movie, with pre-9/11 airport, crazy, no security, run on in, jump on any fucking seat you want. That's insane that's how airports work. I mean, maybe
they
not work. To that loose,
no,
but like
pretty much wore that loose.
But holy shit, now it's like
there's probably like smoking areas and stuff like that.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Too.
Smoking
you
area
can smoke
was
on the plane.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
yeah.
that's crazy.
Smoke on the fucking plane, bro.
That's the crazy part. Smoking on the plane.
You would be in heaven, wouldn't you?
No, I would hate it.
Oh,
I don't get me wrong. I'm a smoker, but I'm not gonna force others.
Closed places.
Yeah, that's a tight space. Like you have to breathe that same smoke.
Yeah.
It's like hotboxing with cigarettes. Like nobody wants to do that.
Now, if we could hotbox with weed, if it was a weed plane.
Yeah, that'd be different. But if it was meant for that, like if it was like
hermetically
you know,
sealed, and we all just got fucking wrecked.
Yeah, except for the pilots. You know, the pilots don't get.
No,
any
I'm okay with stoned pilots. They're on autopilot anyway.
I guess that's true. Fair enough. It's all electronic now.
Yeah,
but
although
you
know what
them...
I'm not okay with.
Huh.
I went to the dentist, and the dental hygienist that was doing stuff with my teeth. I mentioned my podcast, and we smoke weed. Where he was like, "Yeah, man, smoke weed, cool." I was like, "Yeah." Tough, you know, having a job like this. He's like, no, they didn't drug test me. And I was like, oh, interesting. Yeah, keep putting your hands in my mouth. I don't, for some reason, I don't want
they
my.
They still wash their hands.
You don't care if your surgeon's a crack addict?
Yeah.
Or you do care, I guess, is what
I think
you're saying?
What I want my medical professionals to not be.
Potheads?
I don't think weed should be
times
in drug
changed.
Tests.
Yeah.
I don't think weeds should be in drug tests.
Okay. Yeah.
But I do think medical professionals should be drug tested. I feel like they
not for weeds.
Hit the rest
pothead,
of the stuff.
Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Be a pothead.
Yeah.
Outside of work. Obviously I don't
you say when they walk in they should be drug tested to work.
No. No. I mean no, that's insane.
Yeah.
Although No. That's insane. I'm just saying to get hired, get drug tested, maybe random drug tests in the future. But
just a cotton swab every day on the way into work.
But no, I'm saying get rid of weed as a thing. You know, just don't be high at work if you're going to be a medical
professional.
That's what
most people have done here is they don't put weed on the test.
Yeah. So Kevin, Buzz's spider is going to die because he's not going to get fed. But then we realize after it gets broken out, it'll feed itself. Kevin has his own little Red Ryder BB gun. I just thought that was a fun little, I don't know if that was a nod or anything. The fake movie, that they watch, the both, I guess, the first one and the sequel are very good, made specifically for this movie, which I think is great because it feels like an old movie and it looks phenomenal.
Yeah.
I give you the count of 10. 1, 2, 10. And then it blows them away. That's iconic. I love it. I already mentioned the second delay. Oh, God, that was a long note. I guess which one's Marv? Is Marv the big guy?
Marv's the big guy.
Yeah. So Harry, right? Harry and Marv?
Yeah.
So Harry, right? He's the little guy?
Wait.
No.
No, Marv's the little guy. Harry's
Joe
little
Pesci
guy.
Is Marv.
Joe yeah. Pesci. Yeah.
So Marv, what did he do as a cop? He's like, and when exactly do your lights go on? Well, I put them on about 6 o'clock. No, I mean, I get that it's 6 o'clock. But when exactly? Because your name is doing it at 6:01. Do you do it at 6:04? Like six or 6 minutes and or 6 o'clock and 4 seconds? You know what I mean? Like, and
I think the funniest part about this whole movie is Pesci had just finished filming Goodfellas.
Yeah.
And he had to change his language, as they said at the movie. He had all kinds of trouble when I was reading the background stuff.
And he was the only one that wasn't, like, overly nice to Macaulay Culkin.
Yeah.
He was just like, what the fuck? Get the fuck out of here, kid. Like, treated him like, you know, like a kid.
Right.
And, like, he was his character in,
Yeah.
Good. I would do that. If I was ever got to be a bad guy on set, those kids would hate me. They like, years later at the reunion, they'd be like, ah. This guy was such a fucking asshole to us as kids. The wet, okay. So then we get the calling card of the wet bandits. That
the
is
sink,
unnecessarily mean.
Yes.
Flooding a home that you just robbed.
I think that's the point.
Yeah.
It's the point. It's unnecessarily mean. That is the point.
But do they strike you as unnecessarily mean people other than that?
No, it's just
I don't know. The fact they were planning on murdering a child might be a little.
Well, to be fair,
they weren't going to at first.
They're not
in the
child murderers.
In the second one, that's when they're like, "Yeah, we're murdering this kid." The first
again
one,
in the second one, they basically leave him alone. They until he takes pictures of them, throws a brick through their active robbery scene. And then fucks off. He's like, I'm going to show this to the police.
Once they lost him after he escaped or after he got chased out of the hotel, they lost him. They didn't know where he went.
And then they went to hunt.
Yeah. Then they said, fuck it. We'll find him after we rob the store.
Okay. I think it's silly that they care that their pictures are going to anybody. They're known bandits.
Yeah.
Their pictures are everywhere. Here's the newspaper of them breaking out of jail. Now you're afraid that someone's going to see a picture of you? No, just be like, yeah, it was us. Like, hey, fuck you, kid. We just robbed this place. And then run away. And if the kid chases you, then kill him. Beat him up or whatever, right? For following
Let's
him.
Chop that out and put it everywhere. Kid chases you, then kill him.
I'm just saying. If you're a robber and that's your thing. But I don't think that they're bad. They don't seem like evil dudes. So I think that the calling card is just like, I think it's more Harry is thinks he's being mischievous, and I think he's dumb, and I think that he thinks that that's funny. And even Marv is like, don't, I told you not to do that. Why do you fucking do it all the time? It's like, it's our calling card. It's funny. It's a wet bandits.
Yeah.
But God damn, could you imagine coming home and realizing you got robbed, and now that you've got $20,000 of fucking flooding damage, and it might have frozen over, right? Oh, fucking dicks, dude. Everything that happens to them moving forward from this point on, they deserve. I don't think that there's now, and we'll just address this at the front. There are plenty of YouTube videos out there that go over how much these dudes die.
Yeah. Oh yeah. They would be dead.
They're so dead. They're so fucking dead. They're so dead. So many times they fucking die. Well,
I tell you, watching this movie, that's sort of what I got. In the end, to me, it feels a lot like a cartoon.
Yes.
With that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah, you get the first three quarters and it's.
It's like comic booky.
It's a kid at home having fun, being scared. And then having fun and then being scared.
Yeah. And then being adult too, going to the grocery store. Yeah.
Overcoming his fears about the furnace.
Coming of age as a superhero.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah.
Right. So, Oh yeah, you can't call someone a cheapskate? Yeah, cheapskate. Like he says that to Kevin. So he goes outside. Hey, leave it on the ground. First contact is delivery. First contactless delivery. This is pre-COVID.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, leave on the doorstep, and he throws out. Yeah, but you still got to pay me, bro. All right, it's $11.80. Give him $12, 20-cent tip, bro. You can't say you cheapskate to the door as you're leaving.
Yeah.
Like that's etiquette 101 for being a delivery driver. You have to walk away. Remember we had that driver who
better than the gum.
We had that's gross. Yeah. But we had a when Buzz does it. But yeah, I mean even a stick of gum is not bad. We had a driver once who got caught on Ring camera saying you fucking assholes or whatever for not tipping him, for stiffing him. Just tip your fucking delivery drivers, you assholes out there. I can say it. This is a podcast. Go fuck yourselves. Go tip someone if you haven't tipped them.
Everyone know he's talking about Macaulay there.
Yeah.
Who?
Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, Macaulay. Macaulay.
Yeah, tip him.
Is it Macaulay or Macaulay?
It's spelled Macaulay. I have no idea how it's
pronounced. I always thought it was Macaulay Culkin.
Spelled
Brennan, you're the
A-U,
official.
So I don't know.
You're the official.
I've said Macaulay, but it could
A-U
be Macaulay.
A-U is usually aw.
Yeah.
But.
Well, but he says McCall.
That's what I've said. Doesn't mean I'm right.
Now it's two against one.
I'm just going how it's spelled. I don't know.
Doesn't mean I'm right.
Mike, it's two against one at this point.
You could be right if it makes you feel better.
Have you seen the thing that he did like a few years back where it was like he was Kevin McAllister grown up and he was kidnapping his like he was the Uber driver and he kidnaps his ride.
Oh, that's funny. And what does he do with the ride?
He takes him to the garage and like tortures him.
Oh, so were they making fun of the whole Saw comparison?
Kind of. It's like he's grown up and he's like a chain smoker now, and he's like, do you know how much it fucks a kid up to leave him at home alone? He's like, and so he just like goes through. It's silly. It was like a Funny or Die thing or something like that.
Because there's a very good theory that Kevin McAllister grows up to be Jigsaw.
Yeah.
From Saw. So no, I mean, there's like because not only is he already showing a proclivity for making traps, but he also is very, very pious, like telling someone how to live their life, stop making mistakes. He tells the old man in the first one, go talk to your fucking son. And he tells the woman in the other one, I guess I'm your friend, but
give
like
it another chance.
Yeah, basically. Give it another shot at love or whatever. Yeah. Try to fall in love again. Yeah. Maybe one of those pigeons.
Yeah, because she chose to be that way.
Yeah.
She chose to be just with just the pigeons. She didn't like people, you know. She
well,
said,
she had her heart broken.
I could get hurt again.
Get
right?
it, bro.
Yeah, get hurt again. Yeah,
I get it. I wrote that down at one point. I was like, I sympathize with her. Like, once you get your heart broken,
yeah,
you just want to go live with the pigeons. Honestly, I just want everyone to leave you fuck alone. You can't mend a broken heart. Time doesn't heal all wounds. Some wounds fester, and some wounds cause infection. That infection can destroy you from the inside out.
Yeah.
Best cameo ever, John Candy as Gus Polinski,
yeah.
Polka King of the Midwest.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
So now we've got the chemistry between Marv and Harry. Awesome. Super good. And then I like this Santa Claus in this movie is sweet. He's off the clock. He's heading to his car. Doesn't have his beard on. And Kevin's like, I know you're not the real Santa, but like, I know you work for him. So like, can you get him a message or whatever? And I like that. He's like, sure, kid. No worries. And I don't have any candy on it. He gives him some Tic Tacs.
Yeah.
He didn't have to do that.
Yeah.
He's just a nice guy. He's like a sweet dude. I like that. I like seeing a good mall Santa.
Yeah.
Being a sweet
also
person.
Also a good example of a parent explaining Santa to their kid as he works for Santa.
Yeah,
what we were talking about earlier, how Santa
he works for Santa.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
like a helper. Nobody showed up to that midnight choir, like session.
Yeah.
That choir was singing for nobody except for that old man who can't see his granddaughter during the day. I guess so. He has to come to midnight choir practice / show / mass. What happened to the old man's hand? It gets better.
Band-aid?
Over time. No,
probably,
it's a bandage at first.
Yeah. He probably like. Cut himself, you know, scooping up, shoveling snow or something like that.
But I'm saying, great, but why the fuck don't we know the origin of the hand if we're going to see the progression of it healing?
He was afraid of him.
Okay.
And it adds to, like, the... Because when he slams his hand on the wrist or on the desk when he's at the grocery store, that's when he steals the toothbrush because he's scared. And it's like the bandage makes him look more menacing. It just...
It does for the kid.
For a kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'll take that. The pump. Oh, there's a music like the pump up music, like da 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 da.
Yeah.
I fucking love that shit when he goes home to set up his traps.
Was that the Trans-Siberian Orchestra's version of
no,
it?
No, it's a different one. It's
okay.
Got more of like a MIDI vibe. Making a battle plan poster board takes too much time for the limited amount of time that he has. Making a giant multicolored.
Yeah.
I mean, I love it. It looks great, and he does it again in the second movie.
Yeah.
But when did he have time to sit down, get the poster board out, draw a whole layout of his house?
It's a montage.
He's been planning it forever, Andy.
Yeah,
gotcha.
It's
his home defense plan.
Because he's Jigsaw.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of traps. I didn't go over all of them, but I will put out that the ornaments on the floor only work because Harry lost his shoes.
Yeah.
Right. It was barefoot. Or was
if
barefoot.
He would have gone through the window first, it wouldn't have worked.
They would have done nothing. It just would have been a noise distraction, I guess.
Yeah.
Which maybe was the idea initially, but
let them know where they are.
Well, no, I think if you look at the plan, it goes through the progression. I think in his on that poster, if you pause it, it goes through
that
the progression.
Blue shoes here, do that here. Yeah.
Yeah.
The feathers is kind of stupid.
Yeah, it's funny, though.
It's funny.
Yeah.
The old man saving the day was cool, knocking him out. Love that. Intervention from the adult is how he wins both, how he gets out of both situations in these movies. So, like, it isn't just him alone.
No.
It isn't Home Alone. It's him with help of old people.
it is. Yeah. Yeah.
Kevin doesn't think he's going to be able to, Kevin doesn't think he's going to be able to lie to his parents about the crooks, does he? Like, that's what, another thing. He must have told them.
Yeah, his house was fucked up.
His
There's
house
no
was
way.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
His neighbor's house was burgled and flooded. The other neighbor's house was probably burgled and flooded. He would have had to tell his parents, told his parents.
Now, wait a minute. He cleaned it all up, though.
Yeah. I don't know how.
Not Buzz's,
I don't, well,
not
yeah.
Buzz's
we
room.
We don't know how.
Yeah, not Buzz's
not
room.
Except for Buzz's room. Right, exactly. Yeah, at the end of my room. Yeah. But he cleaned the rest of the house up. If you remember, mom comes
it's all
in.
Clean.
And it's all
it
clean.
It is super clean.
Yeah.
How do you clean? There's blood, brain bits that he has to clean up.
There's holes in the floor.
God, he's tar on the ground. Yeah. Like he literally tar.
He knows how to use tools.
Yeah,
yeah.
Shit.
I don't know.
He fucked that house up and then cleans it up. Okay, great. But yeah, I give the first one a B, solid B, perfect. Like it's a perfect little Christmas movie. But let's go quickly with your guys' review and then we'll jump into number two.
Yeah, no, one is a lot of fun. It's classic Christmas movie again. A lot of fun, definitely. If you can, you know, not think about the things that aren't believable in the movie and just enjoy it, it's worth the watch, and a B is a good grade for it.
Okay. And I'm going to go under our new rule structure with a B and 18 pluses.
18 pluses, nice. I like it.
Because once again, when I was talking earlier about being bored with Christmas movies and how over and over they're the same thing over and over again, this movie is not that.
Okay.
This was way more of an enjoyable of a watch just because it's so different from everything else.
Mike, the plus, 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 plus system is not in effect until
December 25th.
Until much later. Much later. So I'm going to assume just B plus is what you meant.
No, I meant B and 16 pluses.
I'll put a little 16 here, but that doesn't mean anything. I'm crossing it out immediately.
I've said a long time that our ratings don't matter anyway.
Exactly.
It's whatever you end up deciding to do with it.
Well, we're going to have a new rating system in next year, starting in our new season.
Will they matter?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm coming
but
up
I do,
with a
I do,
concrete system.
I think I rate two higher. I enjoy two
I,
more
I
than think, one.
Oh, we'll
yeah.
see. You'll
Let's
see when I
it.
Get there.
That's okay.
All right, so B, B, and then I'm going to go B plus. All right, so.
B plus.
So this gets a B plus?
14.
It's a low B plus, however that works.
B plus minus. No. Plus. A B plus or minus 14 pluses. Yeah. B plus, plus or minus.
Making new equations.
Plus 14. No, it looks like I just wrote Braille.
Yeah.
some sort of a different language. B plus, plus or minus, plus, plus 14.
Like I said, I'm not saying it's a masterpiece, but it's as close as it gets as a Christmas movie to a masterpiece.
Yeah, it's super definitely good. It's definitely a classic.
Love it. Now we got into number two. We get the iconic house again, except this time it's surrounded by the New York skyline, which I absolutely love. Yeah. We get Kevin with his new gear. There's like walkie-talkie thing that he uses throughout this whole movie. I don't know if they were trying to sell those.
They definitely were. I had one of those. So.
Yeah. they thought that would be the toy of the, you know, everyone would be talking about it. Who showers with the door ajar?
Yeah.
What the fuck? What a weird thing, dude. Like, you're a grown-ass man. There's 1,000 kids running around. Shut the bathroom door. Especially since that was a shower for the bunk bedroom, so it was like a kid's room that he was in. Like,
when he was like, yeah, I don't want to go in there to get my, you know, get my tie, because Uncle Frank said that if I come in here and I see him naked, I'll never feel like a real man.
Yeah. That's another weird thing to tell a kid. Yeah. Uncle Frank's weird, dude. I think Uncle Frank's molested some of these kids.
That was my note. It was like, yeah, Uncle Frank's definitely a weird character.
Yeah, Uncle Frank has molested some of the McAllisters. I bet you that kid who pees the bed, that's why.
I think that was Uncle Frank's son.
Yep. That all tracks. Uncle Frank's son. What? Real no quiet. What?
Not even going there. Going there about this wonderful Christmas movie. Yeah. I'm not going there.
We get a... We get the choir.
We can't have a single episode that's kid friendly.
No,
never.
We have the choir scene where my biggest issue with the entire movie is that Buzz was not that funny. And I don't think that everyone in the audience would be laughing.
No.
I think that there'd be like a couple of dinguses in the audience laughing.
I mean, sometimes kids' performances like that can be a little like long. And like that could have been at a point when it was a lull in the crowd.
Just needed something.
You needed something. Anything to wake you up, and that was it.
No, I could maybe the ears thing. But
that was it.
Him pretending to drum and all that stuff. I'm like, dude, he's just showboating.
It would have been a light chuckle, but no, like.
Yeah, they were uproariously laughing. They were getting like I do stand-up comedy. They were giving me the kind of reaction that I would like kill for.
Yeah.
You know, on like a solid joke that I've been working on for a while. Like that I've built up to. But no, Buzz just does a little drumming and he gets a little bit of a shitting and grin and everyone likes it. But also, why the fuck are Buzz and Kevin in the same choir?
Yeah.
What school allows the high school student and...
Well, and why isn't Buzz being supportive of his younger brother? His first solo.
And he's going to destroy... Like, there's a lot of weird things. Like, was that church or was that school?
School.
Okay, school. Whose school? Kevin's elementary school?
Or both.
Or Buzz's high
school?
Affluent
people. Fuck. Affluent people.
Yeah, rich people.
You're leaving out how rich they
are.
Oh,
it's a private school.
It's a private school. It probably goes K-12.
Yep.
Okay, they're just going to put some of the ninth
my
graders.
My grandson's
with...
in high school. My granddaughter's in junior high, and they both go to the same, and they're in the same choir and drama.
Yeah, they like combine them.
They combine them
like that. Well, but that doesn't seem like
a
smaller school.
That's a public school.
Yeah,
that doesn't seem like a smaller school though. This one, you look how big the auditorium was, and how many parents were there.
No, I'm saying I think it's a private school.
Yeah. But it's not a small private school.
Maybe not small, but it's K-12, so it's probably not massive though. For that many grades, it's not. I wouldn't consider
that wouldn't
it massive.
Be massive. It's different because we're used to just our two or three grades in a school. When you put 12 together, it's still going to be a bigger school, even though it's a small school.
I went to a K-12 school, and it was a very like my graduating class was like 24 people.
Still, if you have 12 classes of that, that's still several hundred people.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the way it is here. Magnet school.
Buzz makes an appeal like a lawyer to the family and he apologizes and then he calls Kevin a trout sniffer, which I cannot take any other way.
No, there's only one way to take that
than to think that he something to do with women's vaginas. Am I wrong?
It would be panty, same as saying panty sniffer, but he could say that and his parents didn't get it.
Panty sniffer. Also, is that an insult? I mean, I've seen a lot of Pornhub that starts with you get caught with, you know, someone's panties sniffing them or whatever. And then,
I guess to John Hughes it is. I don't know.
I mean, but like, I wouldn't sniff a pair of panties. That's not for me. Because that's so
gross. Would you
gross,
stop judging other people that do?
What?
Would you stop with the judgment?
I'm not judging.
Okay.
Michael, I would never judge anyone's kink for any reason. But I just think that, but I think that Buzz just, I don't know, it's a weird insult to call your little brother.
What's because he knows how to mess with his brother, his little brother's
He's
head.
Messing with his head.
Yeah. Yeah. And then we got, still pre-9/11 airports because we get the alarm goes, they unplug the alarm on accident. They all forget again.
Yeah.
Unrealistic that Kevin's mom doesn't go upstairs, grab Kevin, and drag him downstairs and say, get in the car. I'm keeping an eye on you, whatever. I do like the addition
Stick with me the entire time.
Yes, hold my hand. You grab him, put him on a little leash or whatever.
Yeah, why don't you have a leash on this kid would be my question.
But I do. Oh, no, because they do get him in the car.
Yeah.
Like, they do have him there.
She has her moment passing out tickets. Kevin!
Yeah.
His ticket.
And so, but then they get to the airport. And we get the probably the most realistic, this is what a kid would fucking do at the wrong time, would be, stopping the middle of the airport to change his battery when everybody's rushing, and then picking the wrong dad, following him on, oh, that's my dad. Of course it's my dad. How many times does Kevin say, like, do you think I'd really be here by myself or whatever?
A bunch.
It's like, yeah, he's right over there. And he wasn't even lying in that part. That was just real.
Yeah.
And then so he ends up going to New York.
Yeah.
And the rest of the family is going to Florida?
The most unrealistic part of this.
What?
That Kevin doesn't just end up dead. It's 1992 New York.
Yeah.
Kevin should end up dead in an alley.
Yeah. He's rich, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, know what?
With credit cards.
I would say that a child wandering New York, there's monsters out there that would kidnap a child,
oh,
for
100%.
Sure.
Yeah.
But most people, like your most everyday criminal, is what I'm saying. Like, obviously, most people wouldn't do anything.
Right.
But I'm talking about like your most of your muggers, your rapists, your murderers, like those guys. They're not going to see a kid, and they're not going to go to that level that quickly. You know what I mean?
You more got to worry about the hotel concierge.
I'm going to clip you saying concierge in the creepiest way possible.
Because he was the creepiest way possible.
Oh, you're talking about Tim Curry?
Tim Curry, yeah. That's why I said it that way.
Tim Curry. I can't do his voice.
He's great, though.
He's so good at this. So is Rob Schneider.
Yeah, Rob Schneider was
Rob Schneider's
great.
Funny. I like that this is kind of one of his earlier roles.
Very early. I was looking how young he was,
But he's funny. He's a good comedic actor. He's got the face. He's got the whatever. This is definitely... definitely pre-9/11 because it shows the Twin Towers at one point as he's walking by on his little vacation tour. You forget, dude, how iconic they were.
Yeah.
They were the most, because the Empire State Building is just a building. The towers were what made the New York skyline.
So much bigger, right?
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude. And they just don't exist anymore. That's a crazy, It almost feels like you can't even say the word Twin Towers anymore without it feeling like a buzzword or something that's offensive to hear.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like
triggering somebody.
Something's coming behind it, right?
You say Twin Towers and people it's a hushed sort of thing when it's it was really up until 2001.
It was iconic.
They put it in every fucking movie, dude.
Yeah.
This movie ends is this where he goes to the top of the Twin Towers? Or is that
the
end?
Empire State Building, doesn't he?
No, because you see both the towers.
Oh, you see both of them. Okay.
Is it right here, though? Is this where it's just on his little vacation part?
I think it's in the beginning part. Yeah.
Yeah,
when
okay.
First
got it. All right. So then
he's touring the city.
Yeah, because I put definitely pre-9/11. Because, Kevin runs away from everything. Just that's his thing. He just runs away from everything.
Yeah.
I do like that when he meets the bird lady. For the second time, or when he meets her, and he runs away after she helps him with his foot, and he gets about 10 feet and he stops.
And he realizes
he's like, wait a minute, you were helping me, weren't you?
Yeah.
And she's like, okay, well, cool, good talk.
Yeah.
Like, he's a sweet kid. Yeah. He's supposed to be a sweet kid, a nice.
Yeah, he's a sweet kid. Just
nice kid.
He's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's my grandkid.
Yeah.
I got a grandkid just him. I mean, exactly. I think that Peyton, my oldest grandkid, if you dropped him at this age in New York, he'd do the same shit. He'd be just fine.
Cool. I think I would have been fine at 10 years old.
Yeah.
I would have been on drugs by the end of the week, though. Someone would have offered me drugs, I would have taken them probably just to see what's up. We meet our 2025 U.S. president in this movie. He walks by a very, very young, not young, a middle aged Trump, Donald Trump, as he walks through the Plaza Hotel, and he gives Kevin some directions, which I don't. I think that's pretty unrealistic. I don't think Trump would stop and help a little kid for directions. I think because he's a super millionaire guy. Well,
yeah, no, I think.
Wait, hold on, because I know that he has a lot of money. And he's affluent, right? But
yeah.
I know that the whole him being a real estate mogul, they've said now, like from The Apprentice, that was kind of like a fabricated backstory. They sort of stretched the imagination a little bit.
It's not fabricated. It's what is that called when you build it up?
Stretch the truth.
Embellished. Yeah, embellished.
Got it. So they embellished a lot of these things. So right. Yeah, I mean, like, he's in a suit. He's walking by. It's just him alone. He's not on.
But that's the way. Honestly, if you go back to those times. Yeah. No, but even Trump back in those times, he would walk through the hotel and
just randomly.
Yeah, it just wasn't.
But that's New York in general. Though,
he would walk around New York.
Yeah, you get Conan O'Brien walking around all the time. You got all these different celebrities.
Well,
just
you
kind
live
of
in L.A.
In.
Now, there's another radio show I listen to. They do a thing called Celebrity Sightings, I guess, where they're just walking around town and they'll see famous people. Just
L.A. is not the same way. L.A. Well, first off, I didn't live in L.A. I live in a suburb of L.A. outside.
Yeah. 30 I feel like
minutes,
New York,
minutes,
you could
but...
blend in better. With because it's a lot
you
more
have to
walking
walk everywhere in
New York.
In New York
right. Yeah,
no one's walk. Nobody
in
walks in L.A.
Yeah,
nobody walks in L.A.
No, it's more like they're in a restaurant and they'll see a famous person.
Yeah,
it's like that. But I'm saying in New York, I think it's kind of the same way. Famous people just walk around. They have to get from place to place.
Yeah,
if they're going to dinner, they're just walking down the street
to
dinner.
You got Keanu in the subway all the time, and
I mean New York. Yeah, I'm surprised we don't get more like New York celebrity murders, like.
Really?
Yeah, just think about it. I mean, just it's a
the one wasn't enough for you.
For what?
That's where Lennon got killed.
Yeah, in New York.
New York.
Yeah.
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 From walking out of his apartment, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Literally walking out of his apartment, like we're talking about with Trump.
That's what I'm saying. I'm surprised there's not more of that. You have these, like, in a world where we have all of these mass shootings, that just take place and people just randomly like they'll just be like, all right, I'm going to target this black supermarket or I'm going to target this school. I'm going to
target
this church.
Individuals
why don't aren't more celebrities targeted? Like, why isn't
probably
it just
they
like,
always got paparazzi hanging around them?
But
too.
No, but who cares?
Too many witnesses.
Mass shooters are going to mass shoot though.
That's true. That's
but like
true.
A mass shooter
it's just
situation,
shoot. Yeah.
Like if you just aim at the general direction of some celebrity, I don't want to name any right now because I don't want to like set up a thing. I don't want anyone to listen to this and get like a Catcher in
the
Rye vibe or something.
Right,
but like they see a celebrity out in the wild and they just open up on them.
Somehow our podcast MK Ultra'd somebody.
Yeah, I know, Jesus. Because here's the scary thing about those mass shooter guys, right? It's like they're all trying to get into the history books. Best way to do it is kill a celebrity. Right? That would be the way to do it. A mass shooting where a bunch of random people die, and it's like, it's tragic, but if you don't know the victims personally...
We still know the name John Hinckley, right?
Yeah, I think you're still making a bad case here. We should move on.
Oh, wait, am I advocating for it at this point?
Kind of, yeah.
I'm not advocating. Don't end up in the history book. Killing people is wrong. There's other ways to do it. If you want to end up in the history book, win the Nobel Peace Prize. Yeah. Try to find a new way to solve world hunger. Don't murder a celebrity in New York, in the streets of New York, and become super famous for the rest of your life.
Why are you winking, Andy?
The more you know.
The more you know. I do like when Kevin says to the gentleman at the pool, would you mind... Ask someone, would you mind if I do cannonballs? And everyone's just like, go for it. And he starts doing it.
I thought that
very
was,
polite.
Yeah, that was cool.
That was a sweet little scene.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a sequel to the fake movie or if it's he's continuing watching the same fake movie.
It's a sequel.
Yeah. Love it.
Yeah, just the title. Did you read the boxes up
there?
Yeah, the title. It was hilarious. One was like a porn straight porn movie.
Oh, that's fun. I didn't realize
that.
Yeah,
for the title anyway. I was like,
speaking of porn, there was something I saw on Facebook last night. I had to take a screenshot of it because it kind of cracked me up.
I'm really interested to see where this is going, Brendan.
Well, okay, it had to do with Home Alone, too.
Okay.
So it's like someone was like, it's a great time to go on a marathon. And it's like, you know, like your cable package, whatever, on demand. Home Alone, Home Alone 2, Lost in New York, Home Alone 3, Home Alone HD, Home Alone, The Holiday Heist, Horny Moms, Home Alone with Their Dildos.
That's the way those tapes were up there. Yeah, it's kind of how the tape.
Holiday Heist, I think, is the
new one.
The newest one.
Yeah.
Where the heist is the kid. Yeah. Just keep that in mind. Yeah. That's the heist from the kid's perspective. Horny Housewives, Home Alone. I like that. Poor McAllister family, in the sense that, like, I know that they're affluent and they're rich, and, you know, which it's weird to say, but, like, good for them.
Sure.
Like, yeah, it's weird. Right. It's like part of me wants to hate rich people just because they're rich and I'm not.
Right. Yeah.
And there is that thing where we all kind of hate the elite, sure, and we hate the rich or whatever, the people that have, like, you know, but honestly, we don't know what Kevin does. There is rumors that he's in the mob. Not rumors, but there's a theory that he's a mob guy.
And his dad's a mob boss.
His dad's a mob boss. Yeah, really? There is. Yeah, there's that one rumor.
Because they're in Chicago.
I don't think Chicago. They seem very Italian, no, though. They're not, like, it's not.
It could, yeah, just not be made.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then.
He's the bookkeeper.
He's. There you go. Because he has a shitload of money. But, yeah. But it is sucks that they. Well, first off, they're stuck in Florida while it's raining. Because, yeah, I mean, that sucks. Yeah. But. It sucks that they have to spend their Christmases just re-traveling to Kevin.
Yeah,
that's two Christmases in a year. Where, honestly, the thing they should have done in the first movie is let the majority of the people enjoy their vacation.
So all of them,
if they, yeah, could, like, if the kids.
Well, first of all, no matter how much rich you are, how much to get all those people to fly back right then?
Yeah,
I mean, it's not buying it 2 weeks in advance. You're, yeah, buying it right now.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I just found out is the cheapest time to fly internationally, Thanksgiving, because
people stay home. Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, it's
the
because
actual Thanksgiving day?
To travel to international countries. Mm-hmm. It's because no one celebrates Thanksgiving other, right, than us.
Yeah.
So but it's like weird. It's like to go from I think it was like Chicago to New York. It's cheaper to go to.
Istanbul.
Yeah, something like it's, yeah, cheaper to go from Florida to,
like, Spain.
To Spain or something, yeah, than it is to go from, like, Florida to New York.
That's crazy.
Just because which is pretty cool. So, yeah, just keep that in mind if you want to travel internationally, if you want to plan a vacation to go out of town, go Thanksgiving internationally, is a good time, yeah, that's a cheap time to do it. Just plan around Thanksgiving. Another holiday that, God, I know that Brendan's a big fan of the food. And for him, it's a food holiday. Yes. And for me, it's a food holiday. I do not celebrate the Christopher Columbus,
no,
giving smallpox to Native, yeah, American people.
I don't think anyone really does anymore.
Well, yeah, no, I think actually there's pride in that. There is some people that have that colonial pride where they're just like, yeah, my family.
Yeah, some of them aren't allowed in the U.S. We were just, what's the one guy you just brought up earlier?
Wait, which guy?
Which guy?
He probably doesn't do Thanksgiving either. The guy that does it, that's in all the trouble for the women thing over there. You said his name earlier, and I can't think of it.
I did. I don't know.
I want to say Tristan Tate, but that's not
right.
Oh,
yeah. Andrew Tate.
Andrew Tate.
Oh,
that's who I wanted to say.
Yeah.
Wow, is his brother Tristan?
Yeah.
Wow, did you name his little brother?
I couldn't think
what
of
a
Andrew.
Weird deep dive. Yeah, yeah. You're looking at an, yeah, Andrew as you're trying to come up with the name, yeah, Andrew. yeah. you're looking at me going, what the fuck is
don't
this?
Don't ever get
name?
Old, people. Don't ever get,
yeah,
old.
But
it's,
yeah,
not Andy. It's definitely not
extradited
Andy.
Extradited to a different country.
Andy Tate. That's
Andy Tate.
Andy Tate.
Andrew. Oh, no. Andy Tate does not work.
No.
He doesn't look like an Andy.
Not all Andrews can make an Andy.
No. Not all Andys can be an Andrew.
Yeah,
they can legally, but they can't pull it off. Now, I think a lot of Mikes can be Michaels, and I think a lot of Michaels, sure, can be Mikes.
Yeah.
I don't think there's much difference there.
Yeah.
I don't think me calling you Mike, I think it's just I'm saving myself time. I think I've called you both a thousand times.
Yeah.
But Andy.
Yeah, I never call you Andrew. Yeah, you're
Andy,
right,
and Andrew are,
yeah,
two. It feels like separate animals. Yeah. It feels like two different names.
It feels too formal.
Yeah.
Yeah, one does feel formal, but then at the same time, I have friends that are Andrews, yeah, and I'm just like, yeah, that's what they are.
Yeah.
I call them Andrew because, yeah, famously, that's how I became an Andy, is in fifth grade. An Andrew came up to me and he said, we're going to be in the same friend group. I'm Andrew. You're going to be Andy. I was like, okay. You're older than I am. I respect the game.
That's your whole identity now.
And then I grew into becoming an Andy. I was a straight A student. I followed
started smoking weed,
dude. The moment I became an Andy
F's in class,
the moment I became an Andy, the closest I can say, actually, well, shit, I actually just shared this recently with I think I was telling Sasha at work all my deepest darkest secrets of like not the bad shit I did as kids. As a kid, one of them was, I think, right when I became an Andy, I was in fifth grade, And Miss Stockdale, who God, she's amazing. She's a great teacher. I hope she's still doing it. Or I hope she's retired and happy. She, and I, and if you're listening, Miss Stockdale, do something better with your life. You know, you're getting on in age in your years. So just, you know, no, actually she looks great. I saw her just a few years ago. She's
maybe
amazing.
It's rewarding for her to be a teacher.
Yeah, no, actually I hope she's still doing it. She was just like maybe 5-6 years ago. So like, yeah, I mean, she might still be doing it. She's great. But anyway, she used to give out caramel apple pops. Do you remember caramel apple pops?
Yep.
Best candy ever. For some reason, they don't sell them anywhere. Where's the last time you saw them? They're not at Walmart in the candy section. They're not at any gas station at the candy section. I just don't know where caramel apple pops are. I would have a few on deck because I do like them. They're very good. So she had a box in her cabinet, and I became an Andy. And what happened was a substitute teacher came in, and we were doing art. And I told him that teacher lets us go to the cabinet and get our own art supplies. And he's like, cool. And I went and I took the entire box of fucking caramel apple pops. And I went and I went out to recess and I started handing them out to people and got caught immediately.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't cool. I should have just put them in my backpack and never said anything. If I was trying to be good about it, I wasn't a good spy, I guess, or I wasn't a good thief. I kept handing them out to people to keep them from telling people that I had them.
You're trying to be a Robin Hood.
Yeah, I stole from my sweet teacher and I gave to the students that she was giving when they earned them.
Yeah.
I was giving unearned candy to just... anyway, when the proctor, who was our also our PE teacher at the time, when she heard this news, she walked up to me and she's like, Andy, if what I heard is true, I'm very disappointed in you. But did you steal from your teacher? And I was like, what are you talking about? She's like, Andy, caramel apple pops. I mean, you have them on you? I'm like, they're sticking out of my pockets, and I probably have one in my mouth.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Probably all the kids behind me are just sucking on caramel apple pops, watching what's happening. And then I'm like, I don't know. It's caramel on my teeth. And she's like, go to the principal's office. And I got in a lot of trouble for that one. Miss Stockdale was so fucking disappointed in me when she got back from her substitute teacher. For whatever she was doing.
Yeah.
Oh, last time she gets to take a fucking dentist appointment. Poor lady. She's like, it's the one time she had to like bury a dog or something or what. I don't know what it is. But it's like one time she needed a day to her fucking self. And her shithead kid, who's now becoming a problem child myself.
Yeah.
If you ever watch the Disney's Recess, which you should because it's, I mean, if classic. You're a child, it's one of my favorite classic children's show that I nostalgically think back on a lot. TJ Detweiler was who I was to a T. He just a mischievous kid, tried to do shit that just never worked out. TJ, it all works out. So whatever the opposite of TJ would be, whatever the guy who just a shithead. You know what? I'm more like I was probably like doesn't even matter. All I know is that however we got there was worth it. Poor McAllister family. Really cool toy store. There's this like snowy face thing that is in the corner. Do you know what I'm talking about? It looked like old man winter or something,
like
blowing
sun,
smoke.
The opposite of a sun thing.
Yeah, was it actually blowing smoke or was it just a static image?
I think it was static.
Because in my mind, when I watched it right
it
now, I'm seeing
way,
it's actually blowing out mist.
I'm kind of seeing that too, out of its mouth. It's
yeah, but I don't. I'll have to rewatch that because like that would be pretty cool if it was. And then just all the toys that you see. It's a very cool toy shop. Very cool. Very just like, fuck yeah, dude.
Conversation with the owner.
Yeah.
That he didn't
that's
know
so sweet, dude. Yeah. I had a similar, not at a toy store, but my buddy and I, when we went to Ireland, there was a little cafe, like a Denny's, and it was called like McDougal's or whatever the fuck it's called. I forgot the name. I'll have to look it up. I don't want to misrepresent it. But we were in there. We were getting some food, and we were having a great thing, and then an old man came in and he started talking to us like, hey, how'd you like the food? We knew he like worked there. We didn't know who it was, and we're just like, oh, we love it. This is our first like official like Irish meal, because I think it was like the first day we were there, and we had only had Burger King the night before because we had just gotten in from the flight, and it was the only thing open. But like, we get there, we're eating just Irish breakfast, you know, we're like enjoying ourselves, and he's like, cool, you guys are traveling, you know, you said yeah. He's like, well, hey, awesome, here, And he reaches his pocket, gives us some coupons. He's like, you know what? I own this place. And we're like, what? He's like, yeah, I own the chain. There's like a few of them. Here's some free meal tickets. And we're like, thank you. And yeah, so we got I think it was like maybe two, right, like each. But like, yeah, we had like two free meals each from him. He just cool. he hooked us up. So we were two traveling young dudes. I don't know if I ever told you this, but the when I went to Europe, when we got there, we went to Ireland first, and everywhere we went, every dance club we went to, or not like every club or every bar we went to, just nonstop Michael Jackson. You think we like him out here? It is they love him out there.
But you said on your way out there was when he...
So yeah. And that's, but then when we were walking around, that's when we find out on the plane ride is when he died, and we had no idea. But we just thought people were obsessed.
I really
with
like
him.
Michael Jackson.
It's like, Jesus, the Irish love Michael Jackson. Holy shit. And then no one said anything. We probably looked like assholes. We're like, you're like, yeah, I love this song. And people are crying.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. We're like, oh God, they're really emotional about their Michael Jackson on here. Let's not make any pedophile jokes, okay? Yeah. Cool. Just kind of wait a little bit, but yeah.
So how long were you there before you found out that he died?
It's probably a few days, not a week.
That's great.
Someone told us at some point, and we both went, oh,
that explains so much.
Everything. Explains everything. It was fucking everywhere. It was the grocery store.
You're like, was it still like that when you went to like other European countries?
Yeah, because it was that week. So it was, well, I mean, it died. It
you're
was
like
funny.
In Prague, and you're like, fucking Michael Jackson again.
By
like,
the time we got to the end of our trip, it had finally kind of, it finally sort of died out. So our journey was the Michael Jackson trip slash, weirdly enough, it was a gay pride Olympics or gay pride something, but every country we went to, it was like their gay pride month or whatever. So we just went to a bunch of gay pride events because that was what was there.
So Michael Jackson would have made sense either way.
Like I think he's popular in the gay community as well, right?
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah. It's fun, upbeat music to dance to.
Hell
I loved
yeah.
It. Yeah.
Yeah. So our first week in Ireland, our first few days there was just, it was packed because they were having a gay pride event. So all the LGBTQ community who wanted to visit Ireland came that weekend. We didn't plan it that way.
It just happened.
So yeah, we had a pretty crazy.
Like, there's a lot of gay people in Ireland. I don't understand. Yeah.
That love Michael Jackson in Ireland.
That's cool.
On our plane ride out, what do you think Ireland's gonna be like? I don't know. Probably a lot of potatoes. You know, maybe they'll sound like leprechauns. You know, the IRA, they're kind of dangerous. So like, they're probably kind of tough or whatever. We get out there, it's just a bunch of gay dudes going Thriller. Beat it!
You need to write that for the stage, though. You need to write that story for the stage for sure.
Well, thank but yeah, that's some shit. So I like the band is hiding out in little houses. Adorable. Like that's kind of a funny little hiding spot.
Yeah.
Kevin running from the bandits. He should have right when he realized. When he screamed and everyone stopped and was looking at him and they stopped too, pointed at him like these guys just touched me or I mean maybe if
they
you wanted to keep
out of jail.
It, what
they broke out of jail
they wouldn't believe that
yeah
the kid they were like oh this kid's just making up stories or whatever because like who
the
would believe
first
a kid
time he got caught.
Who would
not
believe
the second time right you're on the first time they got he got caught because remember the second time he got caught the chick
no yeah that's what I'm saying the first time he gets caught when they first meet him and they go. Hey, kid, or hey, pal.
Yeah.
And he turns and you see runs. Kevin recognize the voice. He turns around, he screams.
Yeah.
At that point, he should have been like, I don't know them. Stranger danger. If he pointed at two grown men, stranger danger, and starts screaming that out on a busy New York street, there's somebody that's going to come by and be like, whoa, what the fuck's going on? Who are these dudes or whatever, right? It just, there's a lot. That's the one thing everyone, I think, is even addressed.
Well, there's cops all over the place.
Yeah. There's so many opportunities for Kevin to be like, he should have talked to the police and been like,
but
I'm
home
alone.
But they all that fun torturing him. Yeah.
And he's a kid.
He's
kids
a kid.
Kids don't think that way.
No, but I think once it got scary, like, what? Like, I get instead of him going to, I'm going to attack, right? Well, booby
you would,
trap.
You would think after the first time, his parents would be like, hey, listen, if that ever happens again, find an officer.
Yeah, but I don't feel Do you really feel like he was ever actually scared? Because I don't think he was.
Kind of. When he,
I think it was kind of. That's exactly what I was saying.
Like when he was scared of the basement.
Like when he turned on the lights. Yeah. And the first, right when they first came, like when the burglars first came is the most tense moment.
Yeah.
Because, like,
or when the cops showed up the first time and knocked on the door to check on him. And he's, that's when he went and hid upstairs.
He's
under
scared,
the
scared. Yeah.
Just open the door.
But how can you trust?
He never seemed scared of them.
But how can you trust the police, though? Because didn't he see the Joe Pesci as the police officer in the beginning?
Yes, in the very beginning. Yeah.
So, like, you can't trust the police. Yeah, this guy dressed up like the police.
Yeah.
So I didn't even think about that until right now. You can't trust the police. He could be a policeman. Could be a policeman breaking in later, like scouting the house out and then coming back as a crook to break in.
Yeah.
Ooh, okay.
Doing his night job.
Yeah, and then fucking shit up with the wet bandit, stupid bullshit. No, now we're in Sticky Bandit. Sticky Bandit, I'm okay with, even though he did rob the charity.
Yeah.
But other than robbing charity and taking kids' scarves and
gloves
and stuff. That's okay. But see, you know what?
Just
if that's Sticky Bandit, if that's his new shtick, it's way less damage than just flooding a house after you robbed
crimes.
It.
Yeah.
Petty crimes. A kid loses their scarf. They didn't want to wear it anywhere. Their mom made
They were going to lose it anyway.
Yeah, they were going to lose it. Fuck it. Who cares?
Which I do have a question, speaking of that, because that's a good point. How the hell does my granddaughter go to school and come home without a belt?
Or a shoe or
a
sock.
Or a shoe or whatever.
She's getting robbed. She's getting punked. Have you asked her if she has any bullies?
No, she doesn't.
That are stealing her belt and shoes.
She doesn't know. She literally has no idea.
Yeah, kids just lose shit.
We don't know. But a belt is like through loops and attached.
Yeah, that's a hard one.
Why would that?
Well, what happens, I do know what happens.
How could you even?
She just doesn't know. I know.
Yeah. How a shoe? How a shoe?
Well,
she never did, but my actual child lost a pair of boots once.
At school?
At school.
Maybe.
And I'll tell you how it always happens. It always happens the same way. It really does happen, but it's just funny because they come home and go, you go, where's your belt? And they go, I don't know.
Yeah.
That's what makes it funny. It's not that it happens, because I know how it happens. Yeah. They go to gym. They change for their basketball or whatever, and then like the other day, we were at a game, and she comes out, and she's still in her basketball shirt. She's like, my shirt's gone. She doesn't know where her shirt is. It was in the room with all the other kids' shirts. Somebody probably put it on, not realizing.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're all the same basic school shirts.
Yeah.
And she has no shirt. It's like, so I know how it happens. They go to gym. They change their tennis shoes, whatever. They come, whatever.
Yeah.
But the point is they don't know, which is what's so funny about it. The kid has no clue.
Yeah.
They don't have – their memories last about an hour, and then they don't have any idea.
Which is crazy.
It is crazy.
But when do we have
good
memory?
They're like goldfish.
I don't know. It's older, but kids don't.
No, because my memory sucks now.
Yeah.
And if it sucked then, when is it supposed to be good?
I say, like, mine really started kicking in at, like, 10. Like, once you hit double digits, it starts kicking in.
I think 10 is when I started having self-awareness.
Yeah, that's kind of when you start to be self-aware.
Like, real self-awareness, where it's like, this is who I am. I'm a...
Yeah, but if you're 8 and you go to gym and change clothes, you don't even realize. You just don't... It just doesn't...
You're just going through the motions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah?
It's just weird.
Yeah.
I think the... So, when they investigate the... I know I'm skipping over a little bit, but when... After Tim Curry breaks in on Kevin's father, quote unquote, in the shower and creeps on him, whatever, and he gets called out on it. That was funny. Gets shot at, and then the next day, or when they go back up after the credit card fraud to confront him with everybody, one of my favorite bits is the "You've been kissing everybody.
Yeah.
You've been kissing Joe and Cliff," and then it cuts over to Cliff. And he goes, "No, it wasn't true." That's the funniest.
Yes.
To me, that's the funniest thing in this entire movie.
Yeah.
Is that line is poor Cliff just turns it in. What? No, it wasn't me. It's not true. Just Cliff. Yeah. This is the funniest thing. Kevin sexually harasses that woman when he pinches her butt. To save his own life, is sexual harassment okay? Light sexual harassment, child pinching a lady's butt. I don't know. It's on the fence. I think we'll allow it. Because he's 8 years old.
Gets him
he
out
didn't
of the
mean
situation.
It. He didn't get aroused by it.
No, it wasn't that. It was to get them in trouble. Yeah.
But
yeah.
He did know that is a form of touch that he shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
So he knows don't touch a woman's butt.
Yeah.
He doesn't know it's an arousal thing for adults.
He just knows you're not supposed to.
It just, you don't do it. So he did it because he knew that it would cause a reaction.
Right.
Okay. Because that was an on-the-fence one.
It was smart, though.
Yeah, it was smart. Oh, it is smart, yeah. But it's the only smart thing he did, really.
I just thought it was funny that it was the same lady that Marv already stared at earlier and said hello to.
Yeah, that's another New York anomaly.
Yeah.
It's statistic impossibility.
Do you suppose they get their insurance, Marv and him, get their insurance from the same people that give Wile E. Coyote his insurance?
Acme.
Yeah.
They get Acme insurance.
Acme insurance company, yeah.
Because who better to sell the insurance that these objects are made to destroy?
Right, like the iron to the face.
Than the company that makes them.
Yeah.
So there's Acme products for destruction and then Acme insurance to for the destroyed.
Well, they get jail insurance, I'm sure, because at the end of each movie they go to jail and
they get bandaged up.
Yeah, but the second one they go back.
I do think the violence in this one is more towards them than it was in the last one.
Yeah.
I think that's where the jigsaw thing comes from. He's learning slowly.
He's getting better.
He's evolving from home defender to future serial killer.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. In this one, he's enacting justice.
Yeah.
He's avenging the children's hospital.
Yeah.
So this is him. Yeah. This is him going like, no, they're not going to get away with it on my watch. And him setting up a fucking.
I think he does say not on my watch.
Yeah,
at one
not
point.
On my watch.
Not on my watch. Yeah.
I'll fuck these dudes up. And like in his, and then he makes another battle plan. Yep. This one called Ho Ho Ho,
ho, ho
something
or
whatever. Plan Ho Ho Ho. Yeah.
But he does throw the rock through the window with the note saying who he was and why he did what he did.
He did. Yeah. It's like, hey, I broke your window. I'm so sorry, but it was to catch the bad guys who are stealing from you. Thanks for the turtle dove. So he's even like, my name's Kevin McAllister.
He
writes it on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we get a bunch of fucking attempted murder. See, oh well. First off, we meet Pigeon Lady.
Yeah,
yeah.
Pigeon Lady. Actually, before Pigeon Lady, we have night. I think it's night one, where Kevin's walking home alone, or walking back to the Plaza Hotel to get home, and the hookers hit on him.
Oh yeah.
You have a drug addict guy who laughs at him like. I forget what question he asked him. It's just like, do you know where this is? You better get home, kid. And then the hooker's like, you want me to read your bedtime story, honey?
And that's when he gets in the taxi.
What about if he said, I was going to say, and even the taxi driver.
Ain't no better in here, kid.
What's he trying to do? Not get money?
Yeah.
What's he like? What is that taxi driver trying to do? Hey, does he do that to everybody who gets in the taxi? Hey, I'd like to go to Broadway. Ain't no better in here, kid. Turns around. It's like, okay, never mind. I'll get another taxi. goodbye. And then we meet Pigeon Lady. By the way, what if Kevin had said yes to those hookers? Like, what about if you'd seen women who you're supposed to, like, as a kid, you're supposed to go find a woman to run to than a man? If there's a woman nearby. Like, if your choice is run to a group of men or run to a woman, whatever the case is, you always pick the woman because you're way less likely to get harassed or sexually assaulted by a woman if you're a child, right? Or kidnapped or whatever. Right. So, like,
I don't know that that's a true story, though.
Yeah, not anymore.
Because we were actually talking about this the other day. We were going through, just if you look, teachers, it's always the women.
Yeah.
Don't at least now.
Wait, hold on. I thought there was going to be more to that sentence.
That's
it's
all I
got to
say, really, if you look at it. You knew what I was saying.
Here's the thing. There might be, again, more reports about when women do it because
it's like
more
when you
rare
hear about,
and it's more exciting.
When you hear about the men, it's like, then it's multiple cases are coming forward at once versus the woman, it's like one. You know?
That's the thing. And usually
it's right away.
And it's funny. I know, and I don't like to say that there's a lot of differences between men and women, how we think or whatever. But typically, from what I've seen, it's when the women, they develop a relationship with the boy or whoever, the victim. They develop a relationship with the victim, and it happens multiple times with the same person or whatever. And then they get caught or they get pregnant or whatever. I've even seen cases where the boy, the victim, you know,
ends up. Well, the most famous one, the boy's married to her now.
Still.
Yeah.
And have kids together and stuff.
Yeah. But then a men though, it's probably every school has a story of a teacher that's
probably
done something wrong.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then there's probably multiple ones. I mean, even when I like, even think about your high schools, there's got to be one at least teacher you could think of that was alleged.
No, in my school, it was the female gym teacher with other females, actually.
What about you?
We had a guy teacher that was known for looking down girls' shirts.
We had a guy
like
teacher
hovering behind them and looking down their shirts.
We had a guy teacher fully caught having a sexual relationship with a student, fired, divorced high school math teacher.
Wow.
Like he was, and I, you know what's crazy? I had him as a teacher with her in the class.
Never
so
did. You never would.
Oh,
know.
Of course
yeah.
not. No, yeah. I mean, teacher's pet, or at least like they. But the thing is, he was one of those cool teachers that. I mean, in hindsight, I'm
not
saying from
cool.
my perspective at the time, he was a very, very fun, cool teacher.
Younger,
like,
kind of
younger
vibe.
Teacher.
Younger,
yeah.
Matt, 30s, maybe 20s. Like, he was the one that did the, it was math class, but yet we still built the bridges made of toothpicks, you know, like in a math class, right? Like, that doesn't feel like a math class.
Physics.
That's a physics, but I don't think I was taking physics.
True.
I think it was probably... It was
like an introduction.
Yeah, like intro to physics, pretty much.
Yeah, but yeah, he was cool. And he played music. And he had speakers in there, and he would play like chill music, and sometimes like some rock or whatever.
He was trying to fit in with the kids.
He was. Yeah. And he really did fit in with one of them.
Yeah. Ooh.
Fit in to one of them. Home Alone, everybody. Home Alone 1 and 2. Family friendly entertainment for Fried Rice Podcast. I used to, I don't tell this joke anymore on stage, but this is a true story of someone came up to me and they said that, so I was with a friend and his wife, and they were talking about school, and I was just like, I got straight D's in high school. And then she's like, I got straight D's in high school. I was like, you got, I said, no, never mind. It's not even worth doing the joke. It really isn't. It's a dick joke. It's not, it doesn't end up not being very funny. Forget it. I'll edit that out. I'm not going to edit anything out. But yeah, he meets Pigeon Lady and he's like super, like scared of her. And then he talks to her and then they kind of become friendly, you know, whatever. We don't really know her story yet.
Right.
Never mind. I'm at the part where
she
breaks in routinely into a... She has a sweet spot. She gets a concert hall to stay in where they put all their junk equipment that they don't need anymore.
Right.
And how does she get up there? I'm thinking pigeons.
Well, no. There's a door into there that's above. So they're...
They're at the top of the
thing. Yeah.
I think that the top
climbs out the window right onto the street.
What? It's an inner...
When
it's
they
like
leave,
an underground...
So the thing is down, yes.
Okay. Because in my mind, Mike, you bastard, I
thought
it's
just what happened in the movie.
I thought that the pigeons picked her up and flew her up to the top of a skyscraper.
Would be great, but it's not what the movie said. He climbs out a window onto the street.
Son of a bitch. Kevin is a guru in this one, too. He tells her, like, hey, don't get your heart broken. That's kind of stupid, isn't it? Like, go live. And she's like, I don't know. Tim Curry's phenomenal in this. The wooden board physics of Marv and Harry jumping on and Marv flying 30 feet into the air and smashing through a car is, you're absolutely right, a fucking cartoon. At this point, they exist in an alternative universe because there's no way that this would work.
No, they'd be dead 100
times. Yeah.
Because Kevin's brick aim is on point. Nail gun to the dick is phenomenal. Kevin is straight up trying to murder them at this point. I don't even think it's defense anymore. He's actually going for murder. Marv, I think one of the best parts is him walking or trying all the doorknobs.
Yeah.
Like,
afterwards.
No, trying all the lights.
Yeah.
And then like, all right. And then like,
PTSD from last time.
Yeah. And then he still catches his head on fire, which is great. And then Marv's
head in a bowl of kerosene.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Then putting with his that would have killed him.
Yeah.
Oh, lots of stuff.
Yeah. Put
him.
Marv's dead.
Yeah.
Marv's dead. Marv's dead, man. So is Harry.
Yeah.
Harry's dead.
Two was the electrocuted one, right?
Where you see his skeleton.
Yeah.
You see his skeleton. He's dead. Marv and Harry dead. This is just a. I wonder if this
it's
is
Wile E. Coyote. That's it's basically slapstick.
It
Andy.
Is.
You know what I think this is?
It is basically.
You know what I think this is? This entire movie is taking place in the death spasms of Harry's convulsing body after a paint can hit him in the fucking head in that first movie. He flew 12 steps down and cracked the back of his head. This has just been a fucking spasming thing where he's thinking about, like, hey, Harry. Or it's like, hey, Marv, how about we're the Sticky Bandits? And then he sees the kid. The only thing, the last thing in his head, he's like, cool, man. And then, like, he gets his all destroyed and stuff. And then, yeah, this is all just a spasm.
It's their purgatory.
Yeah. And then the smashed noses after the tool chest comes down and, like, they actually have pressed noses and they have to go put them in place. That was a fun. I don't know how they did that, but that was a funny effect.
Yeah.
It was pretty good. Now, they're... Okay, so the rope on fire is cool, but it's going to start a fire. You can't have a kerosene-dipped rope hanging off the side of a wooden building full of construction equipment and that's just been kerosened up. Oh, wait, by the way, I mean, the whole building should have blown up with that, what we just said, with the explosion, which is ridiculous. And then they're going to murder Kevin. They actually pull the gun out, which is actually scary for this movie. You don't expect the gun. No. He says, I have a gun. I didn't believe him.
I didn't think he did either.
Yeah.
He said it. Yeah.
But when he pulls out his gun, and it's sticky, but, like, that took Home Alone 2 to a place that Home Alone 1 did not go.
Yeah. Guns.
Guns, yeah, which does change the element. It makes it a little scarier.
Yeah.
And then, the cop, oh, yeah, and then, so, then, of course, Pigeon Lady comes in, Kevin, run! And she throws all the pigeon seeds, and Marv should have shot her in the fucking head.
The
gun wasn't working. Yeah. So he should, they get attacked by pigeons, which I can understand being hard, especially after you've been killed several times by a child throughout the night. After you've had
heavily
12,
concussed.
Six bricks just hit you at a velocity of whatever.
You see like 100 pigeons.
Yeah. It's, you know, they're just pecking at you.
Yeah.
But what I think is even a little bit more egregious is the cops running up and one of them just firing his gun to scare off pigeons. You can't run over and just shoot. You go, shoot, 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 shoot. No, he had to waste a bullet.
In the air.
In the air? Could just hurt somebody, you stupid
eventually
cop.
Gonna come down.
Yeah. Oh, and then I put something about the rich family opening up free presents in a grand hotel that they got for free doesn't evoke the warm, fuzzy feelings that I think they wanted.
Cost them $1,000.
$1,000, for room service.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, Kevin should have offered her some fucking food, a place to stay, maybe some presents other than a little turtle dove ornament. For what tree? For what Christmas tree?
For her
She's just going to put it on her, her pocket, I guess.
Pocket.
Whatever.
Yeah, you're supposed to carry it.
Yeah.
I give this movie a B. I love it.
Yeah. This one I give a B+.
B+.
And this one I give a B+ with 17 pluses.
All right. So, a B, a B+, and then a B. Plus or plus minus plus plus 17, which equals out stupidly enough to a B+. So
they're both B+.
They're both
B+. They're both B+.
And again, if you're new to the show, that's how we rate things. We go B is our absolute highest it goes, and then W is the lowest it goes. And we're going to change that soon, but that's where we're at now. And so B++++++++++ is the pretty much Mike's way of saying he absolutely loved it. So with that all said and done, we're going to put a pin in this and go into recreational recommendations.
Bee-woo.
Yeah, that was a long bee boop stuff. I
didn't know you were both waiting.
Yeah, we were both waiting. I just wrote bee boo. I wrote bee boo in the time it took you to say bee boo. I've got two recommendations. You guys know what they are so far, but I'll just do them real quick. Gladiator 2, go see it in the theaters if you like the first one. Super fucking awesome. Absolutely loved it. Banger movie. Also, very much in the vein of Gladiator 2, I'm playing Assassin's Creed Mirage. It's been out for a year. Who cares? It's still very good. It's Middle Eastern. You play in Baghdad. It's a contained city as opposed to like that open world kind of format they were trying with Valhalla and Odyssey and Origins. even though I love those, this goes back to basic, goes back to form, and it's great. It's fun. The story's engaging. You learn a lot about Middle East. Did you know that they came up with, they were pretty much the ones that scientific method of discovery and like checking each other's peer results scientifically. So like checking results against other people's results to see if the results are the same. That's a Middle Eastern invention. And so is medicine to a lot of degrees, or not medicine itself, but having doctors or having people who were medicine prescribers or whatever and
trained.
Working in hospital type places. It's crazy because the amount of research that the Assassin's, the Ubisoft does, or the people that do it, put into the Assassin's Creed games is insane. The level.
Those are Ubisoft Montreal, right? That does.
Yes, I believe so.
Does all those.
Yeah. So those are my two. Gladiator 2, Assassin's Creed Mirage. Nice. Brendan?
I haven't really been doing anything new. I mean, I guess the newest thing to me is I was playing the High on Life game. Just started it for the first time, and it's pretty fun. It's silly.
Yeah, the talking guns?
Yeah.
I played the shit out of that. It's a very basic shooter.
Yeah.
But it's funny.
It's
you
silly.
Like Rick and Morty.
Yeah. I also got sucked into watching about an hour's worth of Antique Roadshow, because I hit home on my...
to me sometimes, too, with my TV.
With the TV, it just auto-plays, right?
Yes. And I have a Vizio as well.
Yes. I got sucked into it. I'm like, this is actually pretty interesting. And
some of the home shows do it sometimes, and then it's that sometimes.
Wait, what do you mean? If you
hit
you
home...
go to your home screen on Vizio smart TVs, it will start auto-playing one of their live channels, and it's almost always one of the home channels.
Yeah.
Like the Antiques
Roadshow, or it's like the Planet Earth stuff.
Or the Planet Earth,
which is cool.
Which
too.
Is cool,
yeah.
Because it's like a screensaver. Yeah. It plays music. It's like the train video only for your house over and over. Yeah.
No, I come in after smoking a little bit. The kids are in bed, and that's just playing. I'm like, all right.
Because if you leave it just paused on the home screen, that's what it defaults.
Yeah.
Well, that's weird. My TCL, it just goes to a screensaver.
Screensaver.
Yeah.
But cool.
Yeah.
Okay. Mike.
Mine. Two things as well. The first one, show on Netflix called Tex-Mex Motors, if you're into cars at all. What they do is it's this place down in Texas, like I think it's around El Paso. And they go down into Mexico and find these cars in like yards, like they'll find a 66 Mustang or an old, the old style Broncos that sell here for, $150,000, $200,000. They go down there, buy them for like $100 out of people's yards and just rebuild them from the ground up.
That's cool.
So it's kind of a cool show. That's if you're into those car rebuilding shows, which I do like.
Do they pimp the rides in any way?
No, they're back. Well, I mean, not like pimp the ride.
They don't put an Xbox 360.
They don't do
trunk.
That. No, but they do make it like a new car.
There is one on Netflix that is like Pimp My Ride.
Yes, there is another
that
one.
That one's silly.
It's basically is Pimp My Ride. But
I like that one. That one's silly. I forgot what it's called,
though.
It's
Exhibit, isn't it? No, it's,
no, it's not.
That
Exhibit.
Was Pimp My Ride. This is somebody else.
It's a comedian.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's silly.
Yeah. I watched all that one a few weeks ago. I watch all those kind of shows. But and then the other thing is, I just discovered last night, I haven't even started playing yet, but for next week, I'll let you guys know, StarCraft Remastered is a giveaway right now. Did you download it as well?
I got both. Yep.
Oh, you got two. No, this is that remastered, though?
I mean, I have the one.
Is that the new one?
I have the one on Game Pass.
Yeah, they're right now on Game Pass. Okay,
yeah. Yeah, I have the two that are on Game Pass, one and two.
Yeah.
I don't know if two
it's
is
It's a pack. It's StarCraft Remastered. It should, I think
you have
both.
To do Battle.net, and it'll install
it. I already installed Battle.net. I haven't opened it yet.
I played around two. That was fun. I think I'm going to jump into one, though. I think I enjoy one
school.
A little bit better.
I love one. Yeah.
But I think there's what's cool with two. That's different than one. I don't know if I haven't played one yet, the remastered one yet, at least. But with two, what's fun is you can still do custom skirmishes, which is basically what I like to do. Yeah. I don't normally play the story campaign very often in these kind of games, except for Age of Empires, because Age of Empires 4, the one that's on Game Pass, the newest Age of Empires, holy shit, is their campaign amazing. You know what they do with that? They'll explain full, you'll see a real video, like an HD video that someone took with a real camera in the real modern day place of where the battle is going to be taking place. So it's like, here's modern day Britain, this part of Britain, whatever, these hills or whatever. And then they digitally, in that same video, get rid of all of the modern day stuff and make it look like it would have looked back then. And then they digitally like show like where the troops are coming, what the motivations are, and what they're trying to do. So like you really get a good sense of what you're doing as the characters moving forward versus like in real life, like what was happening at the time historically. And so those campaigns, they've always gone to the next level to represent historical, like I think accuracy, even though obviously you could type in the cheat codes that get you a baby driving a car that shoots machine guns in Age of Empires, but that's because they're also silly fun. But StarCraft, in StarCraft 2, you can hook up to a server that gives you unlimited population, so you can do the Zergling run that you've always wanted to do. Which is, Zerglings are just,
have you not ever played StarCraft?
No. Yeah, there's three, there's Protoss, there's the humans, and then there's Zergs, and Zergs are basically like the alien hive-minded creatures.
Okay. Yeah.
So in that one, if you have humans, they're building stuff and they're collecting materials, right? Okay. And this one, you're hatching larvae into different things that can then evolve into different parts. Okay. So like
it's very strategy based. Yeah. Like these Zerglings will beat these humans or these Protoss, but these won't. So
because there's also in StarCraft 2, you can. It's insane. There's 14 different types of Zerglings you can make.
Oh, wow.
So like, because it has different unlock things or whatever. That's so it's crazy. Like you can make flying, you can make like faster Zerglings, stronger Zerglings, whatever. Anyway, the limitation has always been that there's a 200 cap or 300 cap population cap because they've always done that with these games for all time because it's just been for
otherwise,
PC
you
reasons.
Could just,
But with Age of Empires 4, you download the mod that you can access through the game, and it gives you unlimited population. So then you jump in, and you're like, finally, I can push my computer as far as it'll go and create the Roman Empire that I've always wanted to create. Because my whole thing is I don't even care much about the battling. I like building a strong
civilization
fortress that no one can get into.
Yeah,
I do.
Listen, I remember on StarCraft, the reason I quit playing StarCraft however many years ago it was because I was always playing online, right? You play against other people online. Yeah, so I was always playing online. And then after about 3 years after it came out, maybe four, the Koreans got involved. Okay. they would just destroy everyone because that's what they were doing. But you didn't have the mod, and it would let you at that point in time, you could play modded against somebody who wasn't modded.
Oh, shit.
And they would fucking come hit you with Zerglings, and they'd have 30,000 Zerglings. And you're like, what the fuck? You can't do anything.
Yeah.
That makes it not
playing
fun.
After a while.
But BattleNet has fixed... probably
I'm sure it's
issues.
All fixed now.
Yeah. I mean, because BattleNet now has anti-cheating software. And, like, if you want to cheat in StarCraft, you just play a single-player skirmish against AI, and you can cheat.
Right, you can cheat.
You can give yourself resources.
But they
give
were
yourself
doing it again
against people.
Against people, and it sucked.
But I will say, it's I think it's the same people. I don't know if it's the same people. Yeah, Blizzard.
It's Blizzard, yeah.
It's still Blizzard.
Does Blizzard do Age of Empires?
I don't know that.
I don't think they do. Why don't I know that? I think Microsoft makes Age of Empires. Microsoft Game Studios.
Microsoft and Blizzard are the same.
Now, but I'm talking
back then.
Historically. I just need, because there was a separation at one point. But yeah, anyway, cool. Good recommendations. Whatever you just said that led to that tangent. I've completely fucking lost
StarCraft.
Track of who we are. StarCraft. Yeah, we're just talking about it. All right. And on that note, thank you everybody for joining us for. Our ramp up to the holiday season. Next week,
we don't know what we are next week.
No, we do. Did we not tell people last week what next week's movie was? I don't think we did.
No.
I don't think I said join us next week for Home Alone.
Yeah.
One and two. I don't think I said that join us for Planes, Trains, and Automobiles or Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
I think we've skipped the coming next week.
I think it's just been surprise.
This has just been a surprise. But next week is... Christmas Chronicles with Kurt Russell.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Now, we're only going to review the first one, but since it's our first movie week without two movies, I'm probably going to watch both. So I will have, you guys don't have to, but I will have some insight on the sequel. So be prepared for maybe spoilers on the sequel. So if you liked the first one a lot and you don't want the second one ruined, yeah, I would say maybe watch it prior to coming in on Saturday.
Which I think both of those movies are also Chris Columbus.
Oh, are they really?
I think so.
Okay, and it's Kurt Russell and it's
Christopher Columbus,
the director of Home Alone 1 and 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not that Christmas.
Not that.
Do you have me watching at Christmas time?
It was a script he wrote called The Christmas Chronicles. Actually, that sounds like something at the time someone in Christopher Columbus's era could write, maybe. No, because they didn't give a shit about Christmas then. But anyway, yeah. So join us next week for Christmas Chronicles. And with that, this with us as always is Brennan. Hold on.
Are you looking for a Christmas song?
No. Because it's, Christmas Chronicles is very Christmas. Brennan, the co-host, he's the hostiest man around. With the hat on and a mustache on, he's the hostiest co-host in town.
Bob's Burgers.
Brennan, the co-host, I sing a song each time he's introduced. He's the sweetest guy you'll ever meet, but he also brings, I don't know, he only smokes
pizza
out of a pipe.
To the street.
Yeah, whatever. Then one foggy Christmas, no, that wasn't even the right song. It was, anyway, Shipley, up to the North Pole.
Have a good night, everybody.
And with me, as always, it is Michael, the chronicle of his life. Is going to be not a lot up until 2022 when he met Andy Rice, and then it just skyrockets into his legacy that he leaves behind for everyone in his life, where they're going to think he's really known for his time on Fried Rice Podcast and all the time he spent with his best friends Andy and Brendan. He's grateful to be here every week, Larson.
I'm still grateful to be Chelios.
Oh my God. I'm cutting that out. I'm your host, Andy Rice. We've absolutely been fried because think about what we've talked about for Home Alone for the last hour. I think there's been crossed some lines that we're not supposed to cross. But fuck you. Who cares? Merry Christmas. It's coming up in a couple weeks. And we've been fried. We've been podcast. This has been Christmas. Mike's
been
Mike. Brennan's been Brennan. I've been Andy. And plus, 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 plus or minus 17. Who gives a shit? Bye.